Hey, Living Word Prayer Group, welcome to this deep dive.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
We're going to be looking at Chapter 11 of Steps to Christ.
By Ellen G. White.
All about prayer.
The privilege of prayer, that's right.
And we'll be kind of digging in to see what we can learn about how to strengthen our connection with God.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking when I was rereading this chapter for this deep dive
Yeah.
that it's really interesting how she goes beyond just saying, hey, you need to pray.
Right.
She really digs into the how and the why of prayer and kind of gives us a framework for how to approach it.
It's almost like a roadmap.
Yeah, totally, like a roadmap.
For a more fulfilling prayer life.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the first things I noticed in this chapter is this idea that prayer is more than just like meditation.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not just about thinking about God. It's about
Right.
communicating with him.
Yeah.
It's about this back and forth.
It's a relationship.
It's a relationship, exactly.
And there's this beautiful analogy in the chapter. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend.
It's a beautiful analogy.
I love that.
It really brings it down to earth.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about formality or fancy language. It's about
Right.
being honest, being real, just like you would with a close friend.
Yeah, and that really resonated with me thinking about the Living Word Prayer Group.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all come to prayer with different burdens, different things that we're celebrating.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to just be real with God.
For sure. You know, bring your whole self to God.
Bring your whole self.
That's what he wants.
And then the chapter takes this idea a step further and looks at the example of Jesus.
Yeah. And this is where it gets really powerful for me because it points out that even Jesus, as the Son of God, felt the need to pray. He sought strength from his Father before facing trials, before making big decisions.
It's a good reminder. If Jesus needed that connection with God,
right?
How much more do we?
Especially for a prayer group.
Yeah.
Like, you're all on this journey together.
Exactly.
You're seeking his guidance and strength together.
So we've kind of established that prayer is this vital two-way communication.
Yeah.
But the chapter also gets into some of the practicalities.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it outlines three key conditions for answered prayer.
This is where the rubber meets the road, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so first, you have to feel a genuine need for God's help.
Okay.
It's about recognizing our limitations, coming to God with humility.
And sometimes, in a prayer group setting,
yeah,
you might feel pressure to have it all together.
Oh, absolutely.
But this chapter says, no, be real.
Yeah.
Be real with God, acknowledge your needs.
Be authentic.
Yeah.
And that leads us to the second condition, confessing and forsaking sin.
Okay.
She's pretty clear on this. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we cling to any known sin, the Lord will not hear us.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's like there's a real call to honesty here.
Yes, a willingness to turn away from those things.
But, you know, that whole idea of sin can be tricky.
It can be, yeah.
Because it's easy to get caught up in legalism.
Oh, yeah.
Focusing on outward actions instead of the heart.
Yeah, and I think that's what the chapter challenges us to do.
Yeah.
To look deeper.
To look at the heart.
At our motivations.
Yeah.
It's not about just avoiding certain actions. It's about cultivating a heart that wants to please God.
Okay, so we've got feeling the need, confessing and forsaking sin.
And then the third one is approaching God with unwavering faith.
So that's really believing that
yeah.
he exists, that he hears us, and that he can answer our prayers.
Absolutely.
But then the chapter also acknowledges that sometimes our prayers don't seem to be answered.
Yeah, she doesn't shy away from that.
And I think that's something we all struggle with, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You pray for something with all your heart, and it doesn't happen.
And it's discouraging.
It can be really discouraging.
It can be.
And it can make you question.
Oh, yeah, it can make you question everything.
Your faith, God's goodness.
Yeah.
All of it.
Absolutely.
So how do we reconcile that?
Well, I think it's helpful to understand the concept of God's permissive will versus his perfect will.
Okay, I like that.
So sometimes we pray for things that fall within God's permissive will.
Okay.
These are things that he allows to happen, but they might not be his ideal for us.
Okay.
It's like a parent who allows their child to make certain choices.
Right.
Even though they know it might lead to some bumps and bruises.
So it's not that God is ignoring us.
Right.
It's that he sees a bigger picture.
Exactly. He sees the bigger picture.
And then there's God's perfect will.
Yes.
Which is like his ultimate plan for our lives.
His best for us.
Yeah, based on his infinite wisdom and love.
Exactly.
And sometimes what we pray for might not align with that.
And that's okay.
It's like we're asking for a bicycle when God has a car waiting for us.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
So it's not just about getting our prayers answered.
Right.
It's about trusting.
Yes.
In God's plan, even when we don't get it.
Even when it doesn't make sense to us.
Yeah.
Because his perspective is so much broader than ours.
And that leads us to another key point that the chapter highlights.
Yeah.
Perseverance in prayer.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. It's not about giving up when we don't see immediate results.
Right. Exactly.
It's about cultivating a spirit of persistent, even relentless faith.
That's good. Relentless faith.
The chapter talks about the importance of unbroken union of the soul with God through unceasing prayer.
Oh, I love that phrase, unbroken union.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And it suggests this constant awareness of God's presence.
Yeah, continual conversation throughout the day.
Not just about formal prayer times, but those little moments.
Yes, those quick whispers.
Those little whispers of gratitude or request for guidance.
Yeah, like breathing.
Yeah.
Just constantly connecting with him.
And for a prayer group like Living Word,
yeah,
this is a great reminder to be intentional about creating space for prayer.
Yeah, both individually and as a group.
It's about those regular prayer meetings.
For sure.
But also encouraging each other to have those personal moments of connection.
About a week, yeah.
Yeah, to weave prayer into the fabric of our lives.
Absolutely.
You know, as we're talking about the different ways we can pray.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the chapter's discussion of various forms of prayer.
Okay, yeah.
It talks about family prayer, public prayer, and secret prayer.
Oh, yeah. And it highlights how important each one is.
Yeah, it's not about sticking to a rigid formula.
No.
It's about recognizing that God meets us where we are.
Exactly.
Family prayer, I think, can build such a strong sense of unity.
Yes, and spiritual grounding.
Yeah, within a home.
Absolutely.
And then you've got public prayer, like what you all do at Living Word.
Yeah, and that brings believers together.
Yeah.
It's a powerful witness.
It is.
It creates a sense of shared faith and purpose.
And then there's that secret prayer.
Yeah, those intimate moments alone with God.
The chapter uses this beautiful metaphor, like precious incense before the throne of grace.
It's a beautiful image.
It is.
Our prayers rising up to God even when we're alone.
Yeah, even when no one else can hear.
He hears.
He hears, and, you know, in our busy lives.
Oh, yeah.
Finding those quiet moments.
Yeah.
Of secret prayer.
It's so important.
It's so restorative.
Like a spiritual oasis.
Yeah.
You know, a chance to just refocus and recharge.
Exactly.
And for a group like Living Word.
Yeah.
It might be helpful to encourage each other to find that time.
To create space for those moments.
Yeah, to share tips on how to find pockets of quiet time.
Yeah.
Or to hold each other accountable for actually doing it.
I love that.
Because it's so easy to let it slip.
It is.
With our busy lives.
It is.
But those moments are so important.
So important.
For our connection with God.
But sometimes it's easy to get stuck in a rut with prayer.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Like we focus solely on asking for things.
Oh, yeah, on petitioning God for what we need. We forget to just be with him.
Yeah. And I think that's why I appreciate how this chapter broadens our understanding of prayer by emphasizing praise and thanksgiving.
Yeah. I love that part.
Sometimes we get so caught up in asking that we forget to just be thankful.
Yeah. To appreciate all the blessings we already have.
And expressing gratitude.
Oh, it's so powerful.
That can be so powerful.
Not just for our spiritual lives, but just in general.
Yeah. It helps us shift our focus.
Absolutely.
From what we lack to what we have.
Yeah, to see the good.
To see the good.
Even when things are tough.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's actually research that backs this up.
Really?
Yeah. Studies have shown that practicing gratitude can really impact our mental and emotional health.
Wow. So it's not just a feel-good practice.
No.
It's actually good for us.
It is.
On multiple levels.
Yeah. It can reduce stress, increase happiness.
Wow.
It can even improve our relationships.
That's amazing.
It is.
So it's like we're retraining our minds.
Yes.
To see the beauty around us.
Yes, to appreciate the good.
Yeah.
And to acknowledge God's hand in it all.
So we've been looking at this chapter as a guide for our prayer lives.
Yeah.
What section speaks to you most personally?
Oh, that's a good question.
What resonates in a way that you could apply to your own prayer practice?
You know, for me, it's the part about the joy of God's service.
Okay.
It's so easy to see service as a burden.
Oh, yeah.
Or restrictive, like another thing on our to-do list.
Right, like I have to do this.
Yeah.
It's an obligation.
But this chapter flips the script.
Okay.
It says that God doesn't want us to serve him out of obligation or
right.
fear. He wants us to experience joy and fulfillment.
In our relationship with him.
Yes, in our relationship with him and in the work that we do for his kingdom.
It goes back to that idea of prayer as a conversation with a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
We share our burdens.
We ask for guidance.
We find comfort and strength.
And then we're empowered to serve.
Not out of duty.
Right.
but out of a heart that's just overflowing.
Yes, overflowing with love and gratitude.
That's a beautiful way to approach not just formal ministry.
Right.
But just the everyday acts of service.
Yes, those little things.
Like helping a neighbor.
Listening to a friend.
Offering a kind word, a smile.
All of it.
Those can all be prayers.
They can be.
If they're done with a joyful heart.
Absolutely.
It's like we're taking that unbroken union.
Yeah.
And extending it into every aspect of our lives.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. And, you know, that whole idea of service.
Yeah.
It leads into another important point that the chapter makes.
It challenges this idea that worship and service are somehow separate from everyday life.
Oh, yeah. It's like we try to compartmentalize our faith.
Right.
You know, Sunday mornings, Wednesday night prayer meeting.
Yeah. Contain it.
And that's it.
But God desires more.
Yeah. He wants to be involved in all of it.
All of it.
The big and the small.
The mountaintop experiences.
Yeah.
And the mundane moments.
Yeah. He wants us to experience his blessings and his love.
Woven into the fabric of our everyday lives.
Yeah, and the chapter offers some really practical guidance.
Yeah, it does.
On how we can do that.
It does.
How we can bring that awareness of God into our daily routine.
Yeah, like creating space for prayer throughout the day.
Not just designated times and places.
Right.
Like I'm thinking, you know, you're waiting in line at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You could say a quick prayer.
Or you're walking the dog.
Yeah.
And you just have a moment of gratitude.
Yeah, just those little moments.
Those little moments.
And being intentional about those quiet, personal moments with God.
Oh, yeah. Finding a space where you can be still.
Yeah.
And really listen.
Yeah, without distractions.
Yeah, where you can pour out your heart.
It makes me think about when Jesus would withdraw from the crowds to pray.
Oh, yeah. He needed that.
He needed that solitude.
Yeah, to connect with his Father.
And the chapter reminds us that we need those moments, too.
We do. We need those times of retreat and renewal.
To charge.
Yeah, to recharge our spiritual batteries.
And I think for a group like Living Word,
yeah,
this is a great reminder to encourage each other in that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, share tips.
Yeah, share tips.
On how to find those pockets of quiet time.
Or hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
For making that space.
Because it's so easy to let it slip.
It is.
Speaking of corporate prayer.
Yes.
The chapter highlights the importance of praying together.
Oh, yeah.
Coming together as a community.
There's power in that.
There is.
When you come together and seek God's face together.
And this is where groups like Living Word shine.
They do.
You know, experiencing that united prayer.
Lifting each other up.
Yeah.
Sharing burdens.
Celebrating victories together.
It's beautiful.
It is.
And you know what? I love how the chapter highlights both the individual and the communal aspects.
Yeah.
We need both.
We do.
We need that quiet time alone with God.
Yes.
But we also need each other.
We need that support.
Yes. The encouragement.
Like we're stronger together. When we pray together. God's presence is even more powerful.
It's tangible.
It is.
You can feel it.
You can.
And you lift each other up.
Yeah.
You inspire each other.
And you experience that unity and love that Christ intended.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking about how this might speak to some of the challenges Living Word is facing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe disagreements within the group.
Yeah.
Or discouragement if prayers haven't been answered the way you hoped.
Yeah, it happens.
But this chapter encourages us to keep praying.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep seeking his face together.
Yeah, to trust that he's working even when we don't see it.
Even when we don't see it.
And to remember that prayer isn't just about getting things from God.
That's right.
It's about cultivating a relationship with him.
Yes, a relationship that changes us.
It transforms us.
From the inside out.
Yeah, aligning our hearts with his will.
Seeking his guidance.
Allowing him to work in and through us.
It's a beautiful thing.
So as we're nearing the end of this deep dive, I want to shift gears a little and talk about application.
Okay.
What are some practical takeaways from this chapter that we can apply to our lives this week?
Okay, so one of the most important things is to make prayer a bigger part of your everyday life.
Yeah, not just a habit or an obligation.
No, but something you do with intention and joy.
Yeah, and that means finding those pockets of time to connect with God.
Yes, those little moments throughout the day.
A few minutes of quiet time in the morning.
Or silent prayer while you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Or a moment of gratitude before a meal.
And being open to different forms of prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe try incorporating more praise and thanksgiving.
Or find a prayer partner.
Yeah.
Or spend more time in prayer with your family.
And there's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Absolutely not.
God meets us where we are.
He does.
And it's important to remember that prayer isn't about getting everything we want.
That's so true.
It's about surrendering our will to God's will.
Trusting in his plan.
Even when we don't get it.
Even when it's hard.
Yeah.
Because he knows what's best for us.
This chapter really encourages us to trust in God's goodness.
Yeah, it does.
To come to him with humility and faith.
And to believe that he hears us.
To believe that he answers our prayers.
Even in ways we might not expect.
You know, thinking about the theme of this chapter,
yeah,
the privilege of prayer.
It is a privilege.
It makes me think about this story I heard.
Oh, yeah. What's the story?
About a man who was going through a really difficult time.
Okay.
He was struggling with his faith.
Yeah.
Questioning everything.
I've been there.
He felt lost and alone.
Yeah.
One day, he was walking through the woods.
Okay.
Feeling completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And as he walked, he started talking to God.
Just pouring out his heart.
Yeah. Even though he wasn't sure if anyone was listening.
Wow.
And as he was talking,
yeah,
he came across this clearing.
Okay.
And there was a huge oak tree.
Oh.
He felt drawn to it.
Yeah.
And decided to sit down at its base. And as he sat there,
yeah,
he felt this sense of peace just wash over him.
I love that.
He closed his eyes and just kept praying,
yeah,
surrendering his burdens to God.
Beautiful.
And when he opened his eyes,
yeah,
he noticed something carved into the bark of the tree.
What was it?
One word. Listen.
Wow, that gave me chills.
It's like God was speaking directly to his heart.
Yeah.
Reminding him that he was there.
He was listening.
And that's the beauty of prayer.
It is.
It's not about finding the perfect words.
No, it's not about a formula.
It's about opening our hearts.
Yes, being rich.
Sharing our deepest fears and desires.
And trusting.
Trusting that he hears us.
Even when we doubt.
Even in the midst of our doubts and uncertainty.
It's powerful.
It is.
And, you know, it's available to everyone.
It is.
It doesn't matter your background, your beliefs, your circumstances.
All we have to do is open our hearts.
That's it.
This chapter really does a beautiful job of reminding us.
It does.
That prayer isn't a chore or a burden.
No.
It's a lifeline.
It's a source of strength.
It's a way to experience the fullness of life that God wants for us.
It's beautiful.
But sometimes we forget.
We do.
And we get caught up thinking that prayer is just about us and God.
Yeah, like it's this private thing.
Yeah, we forget that it can be a force for change.
Oh, yeah.
In the world around us.
In the world, absolutely.
The chapter doesn't address this directly.
Right.
But I think it's implied.
I think so, too.
When we align our hearts with God's will.
Yeah.
We're inviting his power and presence.
Into our lives. And then it spills out.
Yeah.
Into the world.
It's like we're becoming conduits of his love and grace.
Exactly.
So thinking about Living Word.
Yeah.
What would it look like?
What do you mean?
For you all to pray more intentionally for your community.
Oh, that's a good question.
Maybe dedicate a time during your meeting.
Yeah.
To pray for the needs of your neighborhood.
Pray for your leaders.
Yeah.
Pray for those who are hurting.
Or maybe take your prayer meeting on the road.
Oh, I love that.
Go out into the community and pray for people.
Yeah, pray for people on the streets. Pray for businesses that are struggling.
And it doesn't have to be a grand gesture.
No, it can be those small acts of kindness.
Yeah.
Offering a helping hand.
Those can all be prayers in action.
They can.
It's recognizing that prayer isn't just about words.
It's about how we live our lives.
It's about embodying God's love.
And I think that's a beautiful message.
It is
for Living Word and for everyone listening.
As you deepen your prayer lives,
yeah,
remember, it's not just about you and God.
No, it's bigger than that.
It's about inviting his presence into every aspect of your lives.
Yes, and allowing his love to flow through you.
To touch the world around you.
It's amazing.
It is. And you know, that makes me think about another theme.
What's that?
This whole idea of finding rest in God.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's something we all crave.
We do.
That deep, abiding peace.
Yeah.
That transcends everything.
And it's hard to find.
It can be.
In a world that's so noisy and demanding.
It could feel elusive.
Yeah.
But this chapter says that true rest is found.
Where?
Not in escaping the world.
Yeah.
But in drawing closer to God.
In him.
Yeah, finding our center in him.
Anchoring our souls in his presence.
And it makes me think about the Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
That day of rest that God set aside.
To disconnect.
To disconnect from the busyness.
And reconnect with him.
And I think those principles can be applied to our everyday lives.
I think so, too.
Creating those pockets of time where we intentionally unplug.
Unplug from the noise.
Yeah, from the distractions.
Yeah.
And focus on connecting with God.
It's so important.
It is. It might be a few minutes of quiet meditation.
Or a walk in nature.
Yeah.
Or just listening to worship music.
It's recognizing that rest is not a luxury.
It's not.
It's a necessity.
It is.
And it's something we can practice not just on Sundays.
But every day.
Throughout the week.
Yeah.
Make it a rhythm.
You know, speaking of rest, there's a quote from the chapter that really stood out to me.
What is it?
It is not by painful striving or anxious struggling that we are to enter into rest.
Yeah.
But by surrendering ourselves to the working of his power.
Ah, oh, I love that.
To be molded and fashioned after his will.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's an invitation to let go.
Yeah.
To surrender.
To rest in his loving embrace.
And I think for a group like Living Word,
yeah,
this is a powerful reminder to come together.
Yeah.
Not just to ask God for things.
Right.
But to just be with him.
To rest in his presence.
To allow his peace to wash over you.
It's like creating a sanctuary.
It is a sanctuary.
A space where we can lay down our burdens and receive his healing and renewal.
It's beautiful.
And that leads us to another important aspect of this chapter, is this idea of surrender.
Oh, yeah.
This whole idea of finding rest in God makes me think about surrendering our hearts to God.
Yeah, letting go of the things that weigh us down.
Yeah, those anxieties, the worry.
Yeah, the things that steal our peace.
Yeah, that keep us from really experiencing God.
It's like we're carrying all this baggage around.
Yeah.
Fears, regrets, resentments.
This chapter's inviting us to just lay it all down.
At the foot of the cross.
And I think for a prayer group like Living Word,
yeah,
this could be such a powerful practice.
What do you mean?
Creating a safe space.
Yeah.
Where you can share your burdens with each other.
Yeah. Pray for one another.
And experience that freedom that comes from surrendering to God.
It's like a community of support.
Yeah.
A circle of healing.
And it makes me think about forgiveness. You know, there's that powerful line in the Lord's Prayer.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah. And it's a stark reminder.
It is.
That we can't expect God to forgive us.
Right.
If we're holding on to unforgiveness towards others.
It's a tough one.
It is.
It goes against our nature.
Letting go of that bitterness.
Yeah, that resentment.
Extending grace to those who have wronged us.
It's hard.
It's hard, but that's why it's so crucial.
Yeah, to bring it to God.
Yeah, to ask him to help us.
To soften our hearts.
To give us the strength to forgive when it feels impossible.
Yeah, he can do that.
And I think in a prayer group,
yeah,
forgiveness can be a really relevant topic.
Oh, absolutely.
Conflicts are going to come up.
Yeah, in any close group.
And this chapter reminds us that forgiveness is key.
It's essential for unity.
For experiencing God's love.
It's about recognizing that we're all human.
We make mistakes.
We need grace.
And when we extend grace to others,
yeah,
we create space for healing.
For reconciliation.
It's like breaking down walls and building bridges.
Beautiful image.
And, you know, it all circles back to this idea of prayer as a privilege.
It is.
This gift.
A gift that allows us to connect with the heart of God.
Approaching the creator of the universe.
The one who knows us better than we know ourselves.
The one who loves us unconditionally.
It's amazing.
And we take it for granted so often.
We do. We get busy.
Yeah, we neglect that connection with our Heavenly Father.
And this chapter reminds us what we're missing.
Yeah, we're missing out on that peace.
That surpasses understanding.
That strength that gets us through.
The joy that fills our hearts.
Even in the midst of difficulties.
We're missing out on the fullness of life.
The life that God desires for us.
A life rooted in his love.
Guided by his wisdom.
Empowered by his presence.
So Living Word Prayer Group, as we wrap up this deep dive into chapter 11,
yeah,
we wanted to leave you with a challenge.
Okay, what's the challenge?
What part of this resonated with you the most today?
What really stood out to you?
Was it the invitation to make prayer a bigger part of your life?
The reminder to approach God with humility and faith.
Or the challenge to surrender your burdens and embrace forgiveness.
Talk about it during your next meeting.
Yeah, share your insights.
Pray for each other.
Hold each other accountable as you grow.
And remember,
you're not alone on this journey.
God is with you every step of the way.
He's longing to draw you closer.
And pour out his blessings on you.
We hope this deep dive has enriched your understanding of prayer.
And its power to connect you with God.
Thanks for joining us.
Keep seeking, keep praying.
And keep diving deep.